Hi, welcome to Live and Win with Dorcas, activating the inner man through weight in action. I'm your host, Dorcas Perry. Thank you for tuning in. We have a very interesting show today. We get to have an interview with a poet, a writer, a motivational speaker, and a lady who is passionate about wildlife, and she made an emphasis that the lioness is her favorite animal. Joining me on the show today is Monica Mate. Monica, welcome on the show.
Thank you, D. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
How have you been?
I've been alright, excluding the weather. Yeah, but I'm okay.
I'm sure you spend most of your time indoors looking at the pandemic at hand.
Of course.
But it's a good opportunity for you writers, don't you think so?
Personally, I'm taking a break, but it is a good season just to have a little bit of retrospect.
Okay. How far with your book?
Last I left it on chapter 5.
Okay. And how many chapters are we targeting?
I don't know. I think the plot was just unveiling, so maybe 20 more.
Ah, 20 more chapters. Okay. We're looking forward to it then.
Sure thing. You'll be notified once it's out.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay, so thank you so much for accepting an invite to come on this show and just inspire us with your story. You know, this show is all about activating the inner man through weight and action, and this could be through inspirational storytelling, it can be through goals, motivation, and mental health awareness. And today we are looking at a very interesting topic, which is stepping out. This is something which is very personal to you, something which, when you're talking about it, it's more like you're just being vulnerable to the public out there and telling them what you went through and how they can just learn from that. So I'm very much excited to hear it all, because I just read from your biography that at the age of 18, you hit rock bottom, you know, whereby you reach a situation or a stage where your plans don't go out as planned. You feel like you're not doing enough as you're supposed to. Tell us more about that experience.
Okay, so I must make mention, me being vulnerable, she's going to pay for it. A nice cup of ice cream will do. Okay. So let's talk about rock bottom. I must make mention that I completed my high school at the age of 17, which was in 2014. Yes, so I'm somebody who's usually organized. I had a well thought after plan. A has to, you know, work well so I can go to B and B, just like that. So,
the writer's spirit.
Yes. So usually I have my life all together, or at least that's what we would like to think. Yeah, so having completed my high school in 2014, I was working just for about 5 months. That was in 2015, immediately after high school. Then at the same time, I had had applied for university. Yeah, so I had just applied for university, and that was simultaneously, I must make mention. One was UNSA, and the other one was Chainama. And I had applied for the same course, which was environmental health. Simply because at the time I thought it was just a prestigious career, and it was something that my elder sister was undertaking. So I think I had drawn a little inspiration from that. Yeah, so I was just expectant on getting feedback, you know, being a student and just leaving home altogether.
Okay, so you wanted to pursue a degree in environmental health?
Yes.
Okay. So how did it go?
So like I earlier stated, I was working for about 5 months, just after I had written my grade 12 exam. And me applying for university was a waiting period. So after the 5 months had ended, my contract came to an end. I wasn't working, and I began to get feedback from the TU learning institutions I had applied to. And the first one was Chainama, so I was wasn't admitted. I wasn't part of the shortlisted candidates. Mm. And yeah, I was downcast, but I was okay because I still had plan B. And so when my plan B equally backfired, I wasn't shortlisted. Then I slowly hit rock bottom.
How was it? How did you find out? Did you go to school? Was there a list which was published? Then your name wasn't there? Or maybe you received an email saying you were not, you have not been accepted? Or maybe you just received news from a friend telling you, no, we've been accepted and we didn't find your name on the list? Or you received a personal email to confirm that you are not accepted?
I'm not quite sure on that one. It's been a while. But I think it was a personal visitation, and I went there, did not find myself on the list, and you know, you barely have the energy to get home. Yeah, what am I going to tell mom and dad? You know, and at this point most of my friends were either working or they were in school. So I have this thing where I'm now in the middle. You know, I don't belong to either one. I'm not a working class, I'm a student. And then you have this aspect of social media where your friends are looking good, monse musamba, but vanzako basamba, you know,
basambisa.
Yes. Yeah, even the same bar of soap, but it's just not working the same wonders. Yes. So at that time I began to question myself, and I think I had two of my close friends who had just been shortlisted for sponsorship to China, and here I am just struggling to get into university locally, you know. So it really took a toll on me because my results were not as bad. I wasn't an A plus student, but equally I was above average, you know. So you tend to wonder at this point, you know, is there something wrong with me? How is it that others are more privileged than I am? So that was the beginning of rock bottom.
When you are going through that, did you feel like you're not good enough?
Definitely, definitely. Because when I went to apply, that was UNZEF. I don't know if you're aware, but you're not just given one alternative. You have to apply. You have to apply for
three different fields.
Yes. So not even one came through. So doubt began to just fill my head, you know, feelings of unworthiness, and yeah, I just had a lot of questions. The what ifs, you know, what if I had studied harder in school, or what if I came from a more prestigious family, would have things worked out for my good? Yeah, so
like how long did it take you for you just like to get out of that situation to say, okay, I can actually pursue something different from medicine or environmental health?
Well, personally, I think I would also attribute it to our education system. It doesn't really take a lot of energy into helping young ones discover what career path they want to embark on. So for me, I was so fixated on studying environmental health or agriculture, which my mom was not in favor of, because she thought there were no farms in Zambia or the agriculture industry wasn't just thriving in general. So I remember one day, dad came through and he opened up my eyes to say, you know, there are other courses that you can pursue apart from education, apart from environmental health and agriculture. So he had asked me if I would like to pursue anything, probably teaching or nursing. But at the time, I wasn't in favor of nursing. It's a good career. I appreciate the frontliners, but I just feel it's not for me for so many reasons. I hate the sight of blood, injections. Yeah, so patient, and as it tied up, now my doctor tied up. It's that bad.
Okay.
Yes. So when dad brought those alternatives onto the table, I wasn't really skeptical about it, because our country in particular just has this bad image with regards to teachers. They're equally qualified for nurses, you you know, there's just this negativity that is attached to these careers.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted something a little bit more prestigious. I guess pride was also in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So me having had to choose between the two, I just felt like, ish, nasi da market. Yeah.
Mm.
So at that time, I discarded the thought of me pursuing nursing. So I applied for teaching.
Okay.
And luckily enough, around that period, there was only one university, which was Kwame Nkrumah University,
mm-hmm.
that was offering a teaching degree.
Okay.
Yes.
So you jumped on it.
I jumped on it.
So at that point, as we are trying to divert from a medical career to a career in education, did you feel like maybe your purpose became diverted as well?
Personally, I love to set goals, and I had never seen myself going beyond 23 in terms of university. So I thought I would be in university at the age of 18, completing probably 22, 23, I'm done with my program. Then I told myself I'm not going to do a diploma. I really wanted a degree for so many reasons. So me having diverted to teaching, I felt like part of my purpose had been shipwrecked. But the fact that it was still a degree, I felt there was a little bit of hope in there. Yes, and hopefully, you know, I would be able to branch off someday and get back onto something that I would love to pursue.
Okay.
Yes.
So even after going for a degree in teaching, you still maintained your purpose. How did the writing and the poetry come into play?
Well, personally, I'm not an expressive type of a person. I hardly talk, and I take comfort in writing. So when I was in university, especially my first 2 years, I had an identity crisis because I was so confined to being home. I hardly visited relatives. Yes, I do have relatives, but my movements were very limited. And so me being in a foreign place where I was just starting to rediscover myself, so I had an identity crisis, and I embarked on so many ventures just trying to find out what it is I would love to do. And I joined the poetry club. I noticed, it wasn't even from my perspective. There were people that really appreciated my phrases or just the way I coined sentences. That really enticed me to, you know, try writing a piece. Pangono, you know, something came up. Writing equally, I think I'm better at expressing myself with regards to writing.
Okay.
Yes, so I think that was the beginning.
Wow, so you mentioned something very imperative. You had an identity crisis the time you got to university, and you had to embark on a number of ventures for you to actually find what you're really good at. So would you encourage someone who is listening out there to say, if you feel like you don't know who you are, better try out a number of things before you get to know which one will definitely work for you?
Of course, although I should be very clear to make mention that it is important that parents train up their children in the way that they should go. And for me, growing up from a Christian home, my mom had really instilled some groundbreaking Christian morals in me. So even as I sought out to try different activities and the like, I was very careful that I did not stray away. I didn't engage in any destructive patterns. So definitely, for somebody who was listening out there who might be, you know, at that point trying to rediscover themselves, I would say don't be so comfortable in one spot. Try out a sport, try out a musical instrument, try reading, try writing. You may never know where it is you might get your spark from.
Wow. Looking at today's topic at hand, which is stepping out, and you earlier mentioned that there are times whereby we make plans or we set goals that, okay, this is what I want to achieve, and that times we don't get to achieve it the way we want it to be. So for someone who is trying out so many things out there, they try drawing, they try singing, they try dancing, and it doesn't work out, what can they do?
Well, that one is hard, I must say, for so many reasons. Because if you're not careful, you might develop envy. You might develop hatred for people who are thriving in their field. So when things are not going well, I think it's important that one goes back to the drawing board. Try to retract your steps. Try to go back a few steps, if you will. You know, where is it that I'm missing it? What is it that I did wrong? What is it that I can do differently? Because there's no way that everything you're trying out is not working out. Some things are very intentional.
Okay, there's something which you mentioned which got my attention.
Okay.
Someone being envy and someone trying to gain an inspiration. What's the difference between that? Maybe someone might be just trying to get inspired on how someone is doing something. So how can we get to differentiate being envious and just getting inspiration?
Well, there's a thin line between envy and inspiration, equally pride and confidence. So with regards envy and inspiration, the moment that you want everything to be attributed to you, then you know that is envy.
Okay.
With inspiration, you use it as a driving force to want to do better. But of course, celebrating other people's strengths, other people's achievements as well.
Okay, that's very interesting, Monica. So when I read your biography, there's something which was eye-catching. Even when you got to university, you still had a number of challenges in order for you to pursue that degree. For example, financial challenges. How did you just go along through all that period and say, okay, I'm going to get this degree no matter what, and I'm going to step out as a poet and a writer out there?
Yes, challenges are part of everyday life. So financially, I think I come from a moderately well-to-do family. So, and at the time, I wasn't the only one in school. My brother was also in school. My young sister was in school. So dad had a number of responsibilities he had to tend to. Challenges are a part of everyday life. And some are used to make you. Others are used to break you. That you have to choose which ones will do it for you. So for me, I had a supportive background, a very supportive family, a supportive circle of friends. So even when things weren't going as planned, maybe finances were very scarce at the time, at least I would have people who would speak some hope, some people who would encourage me. So it wasn't as bad that I had to resort to other avenues to seek for finances. Then, of course, you want to look good, you want to feel good, but your pocket won't allow you. So you also have to be very selective with your company. Mingle with people that bring out the best in you, people that won't compete with you but will compliment you very well. I'm very grateful for the roommates I came across and my social circle, my study mates, because everybody came from a humble background. So I felt there was no need for me to impress. I just had to be me. And as days went on, you know, the most important things would stand out. You know, you'll meet an assignment deadline, you work on your test, you do this and that. Before you know it, days are moving. So I had a very strong team with me. I felt there was no need to compete because everybody came from a similar background as mine. And even those that were seemingly doing better than I was, were very humble. So find yourself such company.
Okay. Wow, I'm getting inspired. So during the time that you had that identity crisis, did you surround yourself with people maybe now you think like, okay, maybe those people were not just the right people in my life? Were they people who contributed to you feeling inferior about yourself?
Yes, definitely. I think let's talk about dating. So me being this young and naive girl, I went into university not really rooted in my being alone, I would say. So I was seeing this guy. We're still friends, we talk. I don't know why people say you can't be friends with your ex.
I think it depends with the type of friendship that if you are friends before you began dating, maybe you can still continue with the friendship.
For me, probably it's because I don't even perceive him to have been, you know, my partner at the time. I don't know, I was just a wild goose. So I got enticed to date because at my boarding house, I wasn't in school, I was at a boarding house. Everybody was seemingly in a stable relationship. And so, you know, it doesn't really poke you when you're alone and the like, but with time, it begins to make you doubt. It makes you begin to question yourself. Is there something wrong with me? Why am I not dating? And the like. So I ended up dating someone. And it was, I think, 3 months. It was short-lived,
It was a short-term contract.
So, you know, I felt the need to be in a relationship. I was seeking validation. Like, it would give me a bit of identity. And looking back now, had I known what I know now, that it's okay to be single, there's nothing wrong with being single. And if you're going to date, if you're going to accommodate any friendship, not just a dating relationship, let it have purpose, let it build you up. And looking back at the 3 months that I was with this person, I think that's why it was short-lived, because we had nothing in common.
Okay.
It was just something I used to cover up.
Okay, and you think it contributed to you having that identity crisis?
It did.
You're just trying to be this person. You are not for this person.
So looking back now, I think be very deliberate about who you accommodate. And if you're lonely, as the Bible tells us, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. You have to be very careful what you do when you're in that period of being alone. Find something positive to distract you or to keep you busy, if I can use that term. Engage in a sport, be part of a club, go to church if you can. Just don't use other people as a point of reference, as a point of, I don't know, just don't use other people for your own benefit in a selfish way. I don't know if that is making sense.
It does make sense.
So be responsible for your own actions.
How did you manage, or how do you manage finding the inspiration behind your poetry, your motivation speaking, and your writing, despite all the challenges that you faced or you still face up to date?
Poetry, sometimes I call myself a retired poet for one particular reason. My poetry for me was discovered and was probably developed during another rock bottom phase. A heartbreak, so to speak. So not a guy of 3 months, no.
A different one.
This time I was sure it is what I wanted. Yeah, and you feel like you see nobody else apart from this person. You know, feel like this is my God-given, we'll grow old together. And the person decides to walk away. They're not ready to date. And like I earlier stated, I'm not expressive in so many areas. I write. It's my comfort zone. It's where I cool off from. I vent. So I would write just how angry I was, how disappointed I was.
Putting the emotions on paper.
And at some times, you'd find somebody would snatch this piece of paper away from you and read you, and they're like, oh, this is nice, this is nice. And you're like, really? Not knowing it's your life on paper.
Yeah.
So bit by bit, people would come, oh, I'm having a shock and you write something down for me. Mm-hmm. And that's how my poetry was developed. Mm-hmm. I used it as a period of venting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I usually expressed myself through mm-hmm. writing, mm-hmm. which people deemed poetry, annoyingly.
Wow. That's very interesting, and I think I can relate to that. You know, at times when we are vulnerable in life, it can also be a period that we get to inspire other people, because through our vulnerability, we can get to voice out how we feel, like genuinely, without faking it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are times that we want to motivate people because, oh, you've just read something somewhere else and you're here, you know, preaching. Yeah. But when you've been there, whatever you begin to say, all right, carries so much weight. And there are many people out there who feel like, okay, I've been through so much and I don't know if I can still find this purpose you're talking about. What would be your word of encouragement to them?
Well, purpose is a very broad statement.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I feel like it's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't find your purpose, boom, and the journey is over. It is an ongoing process because you still have to redefine you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to rediscover you. You have to better yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So when things are not going your way,
mm-hmm.
If your plan A all the way up to plan Y don't seem to work out, it's very important, like I stated, go back a few steps. Try mm-hmm. to see what it is you're not doing right.
Mm-hmm.
But equally, I think gratitude is a must.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the bigger picture. There are people who are in a more dire situation than you.
Mm-hmm.
Others hardly have a roof over their head, no food mm-hmm. to eat, they're not mm-hmm. in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're orphaned, both sides. So look at the bigger picture. You know, begin to be grateful for the little things that you have. And before you know it, you utilize what is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have no oranges, but I have my lemons, and I'm able to make lemonade from that.
Ah, interesting. Yes. Able to make the lemonade from there. So, Monica, there are people whereby they've taken a different path in life. Like mm-hmm. maybe someone has always wanted to be a singer,
mm-hmm.
but first they were told, you go to school, become that doctor, and then later on pursue a career in music. And they feel like they are stuck in that path that they took. What do you think? What can they do for them to just reorient themselves and get to that singing?
Yes. With our African setup, it's quite tough because mm-hmm. most of our parents believe education is the key to success.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at the times now, education is still the key to success. But the padlock has been changed.
Mm-hmm.
We now have entrepreneurship coming on board and the like. But if you're coming from your typically traditional home where they tell you it's either you get schooled, you get education, or you leave my house,
mm-hmm.
It's quite sad,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the end of the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I would urge somebody in such a situation to still further their education.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, there are people who are making it in life who have never stepped foot in class. But if you were really to sit down with them
mm-hmm.
to find out if they had no need for education, you'd find out that there's a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, education is important. If you mm-hmm. have the opportunity to read and write, mm-hmm. do it gladly.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, use that as a stepping stone. It's not a guarantee that after pursuing your doctorate, your master's, your degree, that you'll have something comfortable at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But a certain level of education, especially for those who've got the opportunity to pursue it,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that is very important. And of course, sometimes our parents feel indebted,
mm-hmm.
especially if they themselves never had that opportunity.
They to want, go to school,
yes,
so they'd want you to do it.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
So do it for them, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you know that I'm not ending here. There's more to life.
There's more to life.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
true.
For me, like I stated,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to do environmental health or at least agriculture, but me going into teaching,
mm-hmm.
I've learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot more I can do for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be confined to a classroom forever just because I did teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's what my parents opted for. Yeah, so it's what my parents wanted me to pursue, and I still went ahead, and I'm grateful for the opportunity, because at the end of the day, there's somebody who would have really wanted to be in my place. And I'll use that as my building block. I can further my career in a different field apart from teaching. And I've just gotten to be so grateful for the opportunity that I was given. Yes, I didn't get my oranges, but through the lemons that life handed me.
You're gonna make the lemonade.
Yes, I was still able to make my juicy lemonade and make something worthwhile. Yes.
Wow. Interesting. Thank you so much, Monica, for coming through. I have been inspired, and I hope our listeners have been inspired. This has been Live and Win with Dorcas, activating the inner man through weight and action. I'll be able to share Monica's social media handles in the description box for this episode. Thank you so much, and watch out for episode 3, which will be recorded on Sunday at 6 p.m. Thank you.